UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
If you tweeted a player, go to hell. Just go to hell.
Okay.
I'm seeing people tweeting at the UK
players.
Yeah,
don't do that. Yeah,
you are the lowest of the low.
And James Strebel.
Kentucky is going to have the first player opt out. It's going to be Clark or Boston. They're going to quit.
I'm not going to go that far.
I'm looking. I think it's going to be Clark. And here's why I say that. He doesn't seem to be interested. Clark doesn't seem to care whether he wins or loses.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Back at it on this Wednesday, 437-9680. We'll talk with Pat Forty here in just a second on the program. A couple things I need to remind you of. I'm frantically trying to find the promo sheet here. We're off kilter today, as they would say. NFL coming up this weekend. Of course, got the NFC Championship game, the AFC Championship game. Coverage beginning at 2 o'clock on all stations, 680, 105.7, and 939 The Ville. It's all presented by Caesars Southern Indiana, Papa John's, and UPS Jobs. And I should remind you, tonight, the UK post-game show, about 9 o'clock or so, directly following the Cats and the Bulldogs. You can hear live from John Calipari. Take your calls and everything else. That's right here on ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app. Pat Forty joins us from Sports Illustrated at By Pat Forty. If you want to follow him there, lots of good content he has been churning out there on the old website. Pat, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Andy. How about yourself?
Well, I am. I'm fantastic. I would imagine football over for you, besides all the Tennessee, you know, nonsense, which is funny, and we'll get to some of that. And I would imagine now you turn, focus directly to college basketball in the tournament and finding out if we're going to be playing some college basketball in March, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're going to be playing some. I think the setup is tentatively pretty good for the NCAA tournament. I worry about conference tournaments. I don't know about those and how many people are going to want to play them and whether they're going to be feasible. But as we got to wait before we get till then. But, I'm looking forward, actually, to trying to really dig into some hoops here in the next few weeks.
I want to go back to a couple of the things that you wrote about there on the site and just pick your brain. But I do want to start local with Pat Forty here. The last two games we have been talking about with Louisville, the Miami game, in an empty, dark gym there in Miami. Louisville doesn't show up, and then they just get thoroughly outmanned, outclassed on Monday against Florida State. So really, two different types of losses, though, nonetheless. And this is a team we talked about, hey, maybe win the ACC, Duke coming to town on Saturday. What have the last two games done for you on what you think about U of L after these two losses in a row, if anything at all?
Yeah, well, I think they've kind of forced a revisioning, I guess, of the season. I think they've played two elite teams. I think Florida State hadn't had an elite season yet, but I think they're going to be really good, especially down the stretch, and Wisconsin, and they've lost both of them handily. Now, they had manpower problems against Wisconsin, but still, you lose at Miami, that's a bad loss. The wins, you're looking at them like, okay, beating Virginia Tech, that's a good win, but that's
a good
it,
win.
Really.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can get excited about beating Pitt. I guess you can get excited about beating Seton Hall, but I don't see anything really that says this team is ready to play at a high level. I think that Louisville looks like a team with definite flaws. They've got a couple of very good players. They don't have enough supporting cast. They certainly don't have enough inside. They miss Malik Williams badly, I think. At times, they're not a good defensive team. At times they need Carlig Jones or David Johnson to do everything. And I agree with what Chris Mack said. I mean, Chris Mack was mad after the Florida State game, and I think he should be. I mean, where was the competitive fire in that team, especially to start the game? I didn't see a team that came out with its, that should have come out with its back against the wall after that bad loss at Miami.
And Florida State just has men too, Pat.
They do.
they just have. Like, that's just the best way to say it. Like, you feel like they just have 10 men that are out there. That, and Bobby V always says they all play the same way. And they have, like, not even one of their better players. Your guy Balsa, right, doing a Euro step and everything. I mean, Balsa's out there. He's free from the FBI, Pat. Can you believe it? He's free.
Somehow,
he's been pardoned.
Yes.
He has been pardoned, has Balsa, in today's political climate. I'm kidding, of course. You know, one thing that scares me, that Louisville's got to start winning here, and Pat Forty with us. They're 39th in the KenPom, 43rd in the net, and they've been undervalued in every ranking system, including the one done by People, right? Pretty much all season. The numbers in the polls don't like Louisville, and they've been good until now, and they don't like Louisville. Like, if they start losing some games here, that would be the worry. That's why Saturday's so vital, because Duke isn't very good.
Yeah, well, and that's what I was saying, that you start going back and really going over the resume right now, and it's like, yeah, they've got some pretty good wins. They don't have great wins, and you got, I thought, a pretty bad loss to Miami. I mean, they, you know, they trailed that game the whole way against a team that's 88th in the KenPom. So I think this upcoming stretch is, yeah, vital. They better protect home court. They've got to beat Duke, and yeah, this Duke team is not very good. You got to beat Boston College. Then you need to go and win some games on the road. Syracuse showed some signs of life last night. Virginia looks like the best team in the league, either them or Florida State. So it's going to be tough sledding for the rest of the way. And yeah, they can't afford to let anything snowball on them and have a significant losing streak, because they're not in position to withstand that.
This is maybe a generic or a corny question, but we've just been kicking it around, you know, on a boring Wednesday. Certainly not doing 3 hours of Kentucky and Georgia talk around here. But, like, what do you think happens with Louisville the rest of the way? Like, I don't know. Like, they're so dependent on Carlig Jones. Like, if he has a bad game, Pat, like, I almost see there's no way, unless someone like David Johnson goes nuts. You worry if some of the youth that starts to catch up with him suddenly. Now you got 12 games of film, you know, on Jalen Withers. You know, the injury guys haven't come back. Charles Midland's played 1 minute. Malik Williams, we'll see if he comes back and how much he can help the team once. You know, he's had a foot injury. He's been injured for 2 years. So we'll see what happens there. Chris Mack teams, you know, around this time last year, they won like 10 straight. They stumbled twice. They won a bunch of games. And then, you know, the swoon at the end of the year that some Louisville fans are there. Like, I fundamentally don't. I don't know what the question even is here. I just don't know now with the last two games. I mean, I still think Duke is still a very much a 50-50 game. I mean, what's the guess of what we think happens here? If they lose a few games here, we could be talking about a big issue. They need to stop the bleeding right now.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely. Again, the Duke is a winnable game at home, you know, because Duke isn't that good. Now, Duke is also should come into the game the exact same way Louisville should come in. Desperate. They've lost two.
Sure. Yeah, lost a bit.
So, yeah, are they going to crank it up and play at a higher level? And can Louisville match that intensity and start a game well for once? You know, I think that's the question. And, yeah, you know, I mean, think about it, that they are hugely dependent on a graduate transfer from Radford. So if they hadn't gotten
who's
Carlig
a baller,
Jones,
he's such a baller.
Moly.
Yeah, he's
yeah.
No, he, and the thing I mean, is, he's such a baller.
Yeah, no, he's a great player. He's a great player, but you're in a position where if you don't have Carlig Jones, you're hurting. So yeah, you need David Johnson to be more consistent. You sure need Samuel Williamson to be more consistent, and then you need some freshmen to play at a high level, you know, fairly consistently, because they can't just have one or two guys having to do everything all the time. So they need some of their youth now to start playing with a little more maturity. And I mean, Samuel Williamson is kind of out of excuses, I think, at this point, midway through his sophomore year, for a guy that came in as hyped as he was. And occasionally he'll make some plays and you're like, oh, here he is. Mm-hmm. And then he goes back into disappearance mode. And you know, to that degree, it's almost a little like the V.J. King, Wayne Blackshear syndrome of you're waiting for this McDonald's All-American to blow up, and you know it doesn't necessarily happen immediately. But so here's a little glimpse there, here's a glimpse here. But then, are the lights ever going to go on permanently? That's one of the bigger questions facing them. And then the other thing, interior defense. Do they have the size and the athletic ability to really actually play well on the inside defensively?
I think the last week the Malik Williams talk has picked up. That's what I think.
Yeah,
Pat. Sure. I think that's something that Louisville's been good. We haven't had to talk about it. You know, it's been one of those things. Yeah, you get Malik back in February. That's great. Now it's like, yo, Malik, you need to get back in. You know, you need to get back in February. It's a different conversation. Pat Forty with us here on ESPN 680 105.7. You've been around obviously Kentucky basketball in this area for a while. What do you make of the coddling Cal has had to do to his team, the message, the I don't want to break hearts, the battling, the catering to BJ Boston, the Dante Allen stuff, even though Dante Allen's playing heavy minutes, that's a pet peeve that I'm getting mad at UK fans over. I mean, what do you make of this tumultuous season, but Cal having to be a different Cal this season? It's the first time we've seen him talk about breaking hearts and stuff like that.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear that. You know, I mean, that's
especially Kentucky fans.
Yeah, well, that's garbage. You know, you're not being paid $8.5 million to take care of the ego of an 18-year-old. You're being paid to not be 4-8 and to be able to beat a bad Auburn team and to be able to not lose by 20 at home to Alabama, even though Alabama's red hot right now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's if you put together a bad roster, fine, but then admit your mistakes and get the guys out of the lineup who aren't producing and try someone else. And, you know, whatever the reason is they continue to play BJ Boston, it's done is infuriate everybody because he hasn't produced. And sometimes freshmen aren't ready. You know, he may end up in 2, 3, 4 years, whether it's in the NBA, whether it's in the G League, whether it's at Kentucky, whether it's somewhere else, being a very good player. But right now he's not, and having him on the floor that much is hurting their team. So,
yeah.
You know, they've got issues everywhere on the court right now. They're not a good team at all. They should still beat Georgia. Georgia is awful. But then after that, I mean, the schedule is hard. You know, I mean, they play the better teams in the SEC, and I just don't see them coming up with – Yeah, and Texas,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't see him coming up with a winning record before the conference tournament, if there's a conference tournament, and Kentucky better push like hell to have a conference tournament because it's the only way they're getting to the NCAAs.
Oh yeah. President Eli and Mitch Barnhart and John Calipari are going to be throwing around, you know this, Pat, all of their weight that they can throw around to do something in the SEC, unless they're first and they get the automatic nod by coming back and winning the SEC. But I'm not sure how many people are going to, you know, think that that's going to happen. Have you seen, I can't remember an instance where he's catered to a player like this. And I guess I've said to, you know, Pat, and Pat Forty with us, I've said to BBN this week, I've said, well, that shouldn't be shocking that the five-star kid is being catered to at Kentucky. That's the basis for 12 years of what John Calipari does, but it does seem that it's out of whack this time around. I can't think of a time that Cal's done that in over a decade at Kentucky, has he?
Do the names Andrew and Aaron Harrison ring a bell?
Yeah,
particularly
yeah.
Andrew Harrison.
Yeah, Andrew Harrison. Yeah, yeah.
I still very vividly remember the 2015 national semifinals when those
right.
guys were dribbling out the 30-second clock while Devin Booker and Tyler Ulis sat on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the one, like those guys got more rope than anybody I can remember. And they did have their moments. I mean, Aaron Harrison got them to the championship game
right.
by making big shots. But
right. He redeemed
Andrew
himself.
Andrew Harrison especially, I thought, this what's going on with BJ Boston reminds me of the Harrison twins, I will say, where you're watching it like, what is Cal seeing that nobody else is seeing?
Pat Forty with us. What do you think the future of John Calipari is? He burns bright. Kentucky has a job, burns bright. And I feel like Kentucky fans' criticism of his offense and just a lot of criticism, this is going to be obviously a bad season. What do you make of the future? I think it's until now, Pat, I guess I'll say it this way. I haven't even considered Calipari going anywhere. But now I could see in the next few years, and maybe it's sooner rather than later. Do you have any opinion on that as, you know, this year has been so difficult?
Well, I mean, I think you know, I think you have to at least consider it and entertain it. You know, I mean, Kentucky, I said in the column the other day, is a great job, but it's a hard job. And the average tenure since Adolph Rupp has been 8 years. Cal's now in year 12. And, you know, it's, I mean, it's been a largely very successful 12, but it's not been, you know, just smooth sailing. It's every single year up, down, except for maybe 2015 and 2012. And so, you know, how long do you want to keep riding those cycles? The fans. I don't think would cry a river if he left, but I think he would have to leave instead of Kentucky pushing him out, because Kentucky gave him that ridiculous contract. And how are you going to get out of that? So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Cal's looking around saying, "Yeah, I can do better." But also, he's combative enough and competitive enough.
Sure.
To be saying, I'm not going out like
this.
Yeah,
he's stubborn.
I'm not leaving Kentucky with my tail between my legs.
Right. Yeah, that's why I think – I'm just wondering in the next few years. Last couple for you, Pat. You wrote about this, the Tennessee situation. It's amazing. I know you guys had the podcast about it and everything else. We've only been having fun with it. Who knows if the McDonald's stuff is true, you know, but the rampant cheating, Jeremy Pruitt is gone. I see no other way than just to laugh at all of this nonsense with Tennessee. 5 coaching searches in 12 years. What do you make of it?
Oh, it's hilarious. I mean, because has there ever been a fan base that's brought more crap down on themselves than what Tennessee has here? You know, and I mean, yes, the administration, too, for caving in to the fans, and the carnival barker, Clay Travis, you know, who fomented the revolution over hiring Greg Schiano and having John
Jeremy
Pruitt, the AD.
Yeah,
and that's what they got. They got a know-nothing installed as an AD who hired a know-nothing as a head coach. They lost for 3 years, and now they have a major NCAA investigation. How you like them? That's great.
But I still can't believe that they just went. I mean, I guess from the outside, you look at it and say, okay, they essentially are turning themselves in so they don't have to pay Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, won't you just pay Jeremy Pruitt and not do that? Who cares about $10 million if you're the SEC?
Well, that's the thing is, you know, they may be sitting there patting themselves on the back for this clever little maneuver, but yeah, you know what? To roll over to the extent that they did opens them up to just major NCAA sanctions that, I mean, you're going to have a really hard time trying to argue against them now. You've basically admitted them. You just sit there and said, yeah, we've got level one and level two violations, and it looks bad, and we just fired 9 people because of it, so we're in trouble.
You know, we saw Louisville do that. we've seen it here in our backyard. We know how this conversation goes, Pat.
Yeah. I mean, and the NCAA may pat them on the head and say, well, you know, we'll make some of these mitigated penalties, but, I mean, if what we have been led to believe is the case, they're at least getting a 1-year bowl ban, if not longer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, is that worth the $12.5 million you're saving because you're trying to be clever on the back end? And then, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's going to sue you. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, sure, that's going to be a fight. Oh, yeah, that's going to be a fight for sure. There's no doubt. It's going to go on for months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does the SEC, do you think, not want Hugh Freeze there? I guess ultimately, what does that job look like? I mean, I hope Jason Witten gets the job. That would be funny. You know, might as well. Just throw it to Jason Witten.
Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, this is the whole thing. It's like Tennessee. We got to have a Tennessee guy. That's why we hired Phil Fulmer. Now you're going to turn around and do that with an unproven coach? No. Jason Witten is not going to be your coach. For once, get over your little orange cocoon and get outside of it. My God. Mm-hmm. But they're not going to hire you, please. They can't do that. After the tenor of the press conference is, you know, integrity. We don't break the rules around here. You can't turn around then 2 weeks later and say, and our new coach is Hugh Freeze.
Yeah, no, so, you can't do that. Pat, we'll get you out of here with this. Pat Forty with us. Crean and Jack Grossman's back at the station in for Mitch today. Jack, you'll like this, okay? I meant to bring this up before we had Pat on. This is never going to happen, but who Tennessee football needs to hire? Tom Allen. That's who they need to hire. Culture man. Right?
Yeah.
Culture man.
Oh, he would be great.
There you go. Yeah.
He's too smart now. He's too smart.
He can stay where he's at for a couple of years and see what happens. Well, Pat, appreciate it. tons of football stuff, some basketball stuff up there on SI.com. Check out everything. There's a bunch of good work there. Always appreciate the time, Pat. We'll talk with you down the road. Thank you so much.
Sounds good, Andrew. Thank you.
Pat Forty with us here on ESPN 680 1057. How about that, Grossman? How about that?
Tom Allen.
That's on the sheet of lies.
He's
today.
Too smart.
Tell me that's not like stone cold true. What I'm saying right now.
No, because here's the thing. While you're talking,
he's a culture guy.
Culture guy, integrity guy,
integrity guy.
LEO, all this stuff.
Absolutely.
Any shady coach worth his salt ain't going to Tennessee because they're like, they just ratted a dude out.
Yeah.
Why would I go to a place where they're going to rat me at the – you got Auburn, like, yeah, nothing to see here. Yeah, Bruce Pearl's cool.
That's right. LSU, you can do anything you want.
Yeah, yeah. Will Wade's like, whatever. Like, nothing to see here. Tennessee's like, we're telling on you.
That's totally true.
Any coach that has any amount of shade around him, he ain't going to Knoxville. They dug themselves a deep hole, man. They're not going to have a lot to choose from. Coaches ain't going to go there.
The only thing I'll say is if you lost a bowl ban, if you had 1 year, I don't think that's a big deal.
Right.
To me, okay, because I don't know, these bowls, who cares? Like, if Tennessee, if a good coach took over.
Right, and made
Tennessee, and I don't know what they were last year. I mean, I know there was only 10 games. Were they 3-7, 4-8?
3-7, I think. I think they were 3-7.
Whatever. So, 3-7, you know, a good coach takes over.
Right.
Okay, and flips that and goes 7-5
or
even.
Or 6-6, 500.
Yeah, 6-6. You can sell that season.
Sure.
Hell, act like it would happen around here. Kentucky and Louisville both have sold worse seasons, or at least the same type of season.
They have.
And you go to a bowl game, and there's no doubt about it. Sometimes it does matter, and sometimes you do use that. Kentucky did with the 10-win season. Mm-hmm. Louisville did with Lamar Jackson and the big game against Texas A&M, like his coming out party,
right,
probably nationally. One of his coming out parties there in Nashville. So I'm not acting like they mean nothing, okay? They mean something, but I guess you could work around that. If you brought in the right guy, you would take your punishment
for
a year,
yeah,
and you would be able, you know, and guys aren't there for 1 year at Tennessee. You're
right
there for, you know, 2 years, but usually 3 years, 4 years. And so it's different than, you know, Cade Cunningham, who comes in for 1 year, you nuke that year. And the NCAA tournament is not analogous to the Weed Whacker Bowl in Birmingham.
Yeah, the
Birmingham
season in football is
way
different.
So if you made it 6-6 and you just got in it in some, you know, in some lower level bowl game, I'm sure we're still going to have restrictions at some point.
The Weed Whacker Bowl.
Well, I mean, am I wrong? That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, the Weed Whacker, you know, Tennessee makes the Weed Whacker Bowl, but they might take themselves out of the
contention. You can sell it down the road, man.
Well, Louisville, Charlie Strong's first year, I mean, they sold the Beef O'Brady Bowl. I mean,
they should have.
I mean, that was
no one cares. The saddest stadium.
It was. Did you go to that?
Kareem, that was in Tampa, wasn't it? Was it St. Pete or was it?
Oh, man. I did not go
to the Beef O'Brady's Bowl. No.
Do you remember where it was?
Thank you.
It was in Tampa.
He's killing me.
Was it Tampa? Look at you.
Yes.
He's killing me.
It was in the Crappy Ray Stadium.
I just like the mask. I just love.
And keep going back and forth on whether or not I actually have it on or not.
Yeah, you. It sounds like you have it on.
Well, no,
now I take it off. Yeah, I'm trying to have it on as much as I can.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
It just makes me laugh. Is that one of the masks your dad makes?
Oh, of course.
Does he make them? How much are they? They're probably expensive, aren't
they? No, he just gives them out to mainly like clients and stuff.
Yeah, but
I'm
not.
If you want one, I can get you one.
They're nice. They're fashionable.
Of course they're fashionable.
Yeah. Jack comes in with his mask on,
so.
You're like, look at that. It's made much different than the mask I bought at CVS.
If I wanted a suit from your father, so he would do the whole where I stand on like a box and, you know, he does all the measurements.
Measure your inseam.
Is that right?
I don't think you'd have to stand on a box, but he does do all the measurements and all that.
Why not? Yeah, you have to stand in a box. What are you talking about?
Have I seen the movies?
With the three or four mirrors around you.
Yeah,
what do you do? I'm smoking a cigar. What do you think? We're drinking scotch.
Yeah, you got cigars. You got scotch.
What do you think I'm doing here, Grossman?
You know,
what's your problem?
Is that the kind of setup your dad has?
He goes to people. So, like, he has an office in our house, but normally when there's appointments, he comes to people.
Well, I want to go to his office.
Nate Huber, Beef O'Brady's Bowl was in St. Pete. I thought it was. There you go.
Oh, Green, you're wrong.
I just remember them having
thing.
Like
he's in the Crappy Ray Stadium.
I just see, that's what I thought.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I thought too. I don't know. I just remember them having like high school bleachers.
Yeah, yeah, and it's kinda like,
like legit high school bleachers. But, I'm telling you, Tom Allen.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. That is the guy that you could do the thing that U of L did not do with Jeff Brohm. And Tennessee would have to do this. You money whip them.
Yeah, yeah.
Louisville was not going to, and this was lock stake.
Right.
They did not money whip Jeff Brohm. In other words, if Jeff Brohm was going to make, I don't know what he's making now. I know he's got like three raises, okay?
Right.
But if he's making like five now, you offer him seven.
Seven.
You know, come on home, and you offer him a lot of money. Tennessee would do that and, you know, make Tom Allen turn down just a massive amount of money. Although Tom Allen does make, what, $4 million there?
Yeah,
I mean, that's a massive deal.
Yeah, you Tom Allen makes $3.9 million now, and Brohm makes $4.8 million.
There you go.
Really? Brohm? Wow.
Oh, dude, Brohm got that bread.
Yeah.
And he's not, I mean, he's getting a mill a win a year.
Yeah.
Like, my man is just
living the life.
At Purdue, just living the life. Like, he really is. God bless him. He really is.
I'm surprised they're that close. I thought that Jeff Brohm would make a little more than Tom Allen. I'm surprised they're as close as they are. But, yeah, if you're Tennessee, you offer Tom Allen six. Come make $6 million. Come make Stoops money here at Tennessee.
Yes, that's what they should do, man.
Yeah,
that's what they should do.
Figure what Stoops makes. He makes about six.
No, he doesn't. Does he?
He's in the higher fives. Yeah,
he's top 15 coach.
Yeah, yeah. He's in the higher five.
Not result wise.
Not result wise.
Now, did you go back at all and listen to him on with Matty Bangs?
No, I know.
You didn't. You why not?
I, yeah.
Well, that's a Kentucky stuff.
I had things going on.
What did you have going on
last night?
What did you do last night?
Let's see here.
You ran out of here at 5:59.
Well, my wife had to go to work.
Gross,
man. So
you should have seen. He ran out of here. He didn't even listen to the. Did you listen to
on the car ride?
The Louisville medley. You listened to that?
In the car ride. I got the car.
Medley.
I had the app going.
There you go.
I had the app going. The Bluetooth hooked up. The whole 9 yards and everything. So yeah. I don't know what I did last. I went to bed at like 9:30. I watched Florida.
9:30.
Yeah, I watched Florida, Tennessee. And ooh. Then after that, I was kind of done. I was like, I'm going to go to bed. Because I was up late the night before watching, what was I watching Monday night?
Aliens.
Oh, no, Louisville. I was watching, because I watched the Louisville basketball game, then did the podcast. Then listened to Ethan Moore.
You and your podcast.
It's a late night for me on Monday night.
Grossman, have you ever been invited to the podcast Round of Shots?
Yes, I was, actually.
He's been on it.
It was
really.
Last,
I still haven't been invited.
Yeah.
You have.
You could be on whenever you want. You
wow.
have an open invitation. Open
wow.
invitation. We wanted Crean's thoughts on Bob Knight coming back to Assembly Hall.
Yep, it was a half. Oh. It was like a half hour of me talking about Bob Knight and crushing
Archie
Miller.
Oh yeah, that's the way to get listeners. Yeah. Boy, you guys know how to do it.
The pulse.
An unknown. Yeah, the pulse
of. Fans in America.
You can't say anything. You don't do any work for that.
I don't.
Kevin Hale does all of
he
it.
He does. He does all the heavy lifting.
You figured out a way to get on the air with doing minimal work.
He just asked me to do it. He's like, hey, you want to do this? Like, yeah, sure.
Texas says, hey, Calipari's on pace to win a win as well.
He is.
Texas says, did Mitch relapse on gambling last night and have to take a personal day today? No, we announced earlier in the show.
Yeah.
Mitch did allow this. He knows it's going to be part of the show. Mitch has COVID. Texter says, we just went to break there. Green.
Yeah.
Green, we should have just went to break there. That's my fault. That's my fault.
Mitch has COVID. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, that's exactly what we should have done. We did not do that. So anyway, 4379680. All right, on the other end, I want to play a little bit of sound, and then I have a question for you.
Okay.
And then we'll get to Wheel of Content as well. How does that sound?
Oh, good. More
sounds
Wheel
like
of
a plan.
Content.
Yeah, there
Wheel
we go.
Content. I do have my list, by
all right,
the
well,
way.
There we go. We got a guest coming up in 15 minutes.
Oh,
we'll talk some Georgia basketball. So we're locked in here, 4379680. Another half an hour, another hour and a half, I should say, to go. It's The Take on a Wednesday.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Like, last night was bad. Like, after that basketball game, I got home.
What time did you go to bed?
8:30. I was just pissed.
And James Strebel.
Because basketball ruined his night.
It ruined my night.
Mitch, it ruined his night.
Ruined my
really?
Night.
Really? Are you
it
serious?
Did.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
So we're making it through here on a Wednesday. Mitch is not in today. Jack Grossman is. We say hello to Cream. We'll have Mike Griffith coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. from Dog Nation. We'll talk with him. We'll get you ready for Georgia tonight. Streeble, are you ready for some questions in this interview? Do you have some things you want to get to?
Yes, I can have some questions for Mike Griffith. Absolutely.
There you go. You ready to talk to Mike Griffith?
I'm ready to talk to Mike Griffith. I'm ready to talk some Dog Nation basketball.
We don't know anything about Dog Nation.
I saw it on there, and I was like,
I know, it's
DogNation.com.
I want to ask you guys this, both of you knuckleheads this, and we'll have him on here in 7 or 8 minutes or so. What do you think, like the inauguration stuff, okay?
Yeah.
I always find it interesting. So I was watching a bunch of it today.
Okay.
And I just want you to know I wrote down a few things.
You did, about the inauguration. Okay.
Things, I always get very nervous that people are going to fall down steps.
Because they're always going to.
For some reason.
Large.
Well, you have most of the time older people who are in, like, uncomfortable shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And
suits.
Yeah, suits
and,
or
you have ladies
maybe
in,
a heel.
Right.
Right,
heels?
You know what I'm saying? Maybe it doesn't have to be a high heel.
But
okay?
Heels?
Yeah, we're not going to PTs. We're not, you know, we don't know what we're doing.
Not heels
so it's
like
just
that.
A heel. You know, just a heel.
A sensible heel.
A sensible heel, okay? Not a sensible salad.
No.
Not that. So anyway, I always get very nervous that someone who's old, I mean, not. It would be funny if everyone's okay. Okay.
Yes.
That'd be funny probably anyway. Anyway. So this whole stairs always get me.
Yeah.
And then this happened to Obama the first time. And they changed it. Now, I can't remember with Obama the second time. Do they swear him in? I don't think they do. Do they?
Yeah.
A second time? Second 4 years? I honestly don't know.
Yes, they get sworn. I think what happened with
sworn
Obama.
In again?
Yeah, what happened with Obama. Is the wording?
Yeah, he said it wrong.
Of the swearing
no,
in
no,
was wrong,
but
so he had to redo
he
it.
He had to redo it.
Yes.
Yeah. And the reason I bring that up is I always thought, how do they not mess this up in this critical moment? And they did, and it's because they had like three sentences, and Obama's like, and they've now changed it,
right?
Where it's in shorter
it's
sentences.
Shorter, because
absolutely.
I thought it was.
That's another thing I always noticed.
Was it Obama or was it John Roberts that messed it up?
No, it was Obama.
Was it Obama? Okay, because I know
again,
Chief Justice John Roberts swears, you know,
right,
swearing
him in. But, like, today, and I can't remember with Trump. I honestly cannot remember.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure because of that they changed it.
They changed it, made it
shorter. Because I remember when Obama took the oath, it was like three sentences. I'm like, damn, how's he going to remember that? Like,
yeah.
Dude's on stage in the world. How is he going to remember that anyway?
And it's cold. I mean, this it always happens in January and it's freezing.
There you
it's
go.
Freezing.
I don't know what that has to do with it, but there you
know,
go.
Yeah, the cold on the mind.
Okay,
you know?
There
freezes
you go.
Your brain a little
so
bit.
So that is going on.
Okay.
And then, like, today, Donald and Melania were up on stage together, and they go then to Air Force One, where they go to Florida.
Yeah, the big send-off.
Right, the big send-off.
Yes.
And I ask this not to be mean. When will be the next time they see each other? This is what's in my mind as I'm watching today. When will be the next time? Grossman, this is the first time he doesn't want. Listen,
he's back away.
Have you noticed that Mike hasn't popped on
quiet
here
as a mouse.
In the last few minutes? Have you noticed that?
Yeah,
he's
quiet.
Just waiting to get Mike Griffith on from Dog Nation. He's sitting back. He's like, I'm just going to be a button pusher. He wants nothing
do
with
this conversation.
He wants to stay away from this conversation.
Right. Well,
but I got to think he wins the last. When are they going to see each other next?
Because you know they have different wings at Mar-a-Lago. Like, she's got her area and he's got his area.
Agreed. If she's even there.
If she's even there, that's a good point.
When's the next time?
Well, I know that his daughter, Tiffany, just got engaged. So maybe at her engagement party. Whenever that is. Because you know they're going to have an engagement
Look
party.
At you.
So it's that's the first thing. I know she got engaged. I saw that on Twitter. So at Tiffany's engagement party next time.
I can't remember. The texts are on here, but a texter did say, remember when, something to the effect of, remember when Strieble yelled and screamed at us that the inauguration wasn't going to happen?
I never said the inauguration wasn't going to happen. I said it was going to drag on.
Grossman, are you in the know on any of this stuff that we had this massive battle on the program? There he is.
There he is.
I just wanted to make sure. How nervous are you right now? Are
I'm
you
not
nervous?
I just don't have anything to add on the topic of the inauguration.
You don't have anything on the topic of the inauguration.
I mean, it happened. People didn't storm the Capitol again while it happened. They actually were able
good.
To
oh,
do
that's
it.
Good. Yeah. Boy, yeah. Boy, people didn't do domestic terrorism during the inauguration.
Wow.
Correct.
Yes. Wow.
Correct. Yes.
Things are already looking up.
Why are you so scared right now?
I'm not scared. Just
you don't have political takes?
Do you have political takes that are, like, is that something in the Grossman family? Like, you know, sometimes families battle. Like,
not that I take a part of, but.
There we go. Yeah. But, there are battles.
Not huge ones, but there's discussions sometimes.
There you go. A little discussion.
Yeah.
Now, Ince and I had a political discussion a little bit Saturday, and Green didn't jump in on that either.
Well, that's also because I was not in the same room as you all.
That is true, yes.
Because you guys were staying away for COVID reasons.
We were staying away for COVID reasons.
There you go.
Yes.
That's all that I have. That's the inauguration.
Oh,
for
I thought
me.
You had more.
No,
okay.
That's it. That's literally it. Okay. That's all that I had.
Well, those are all good thoughts. Those are large flights of stairs. And when you have, you know,
old people,
Trump is old. Biden is old. Yeah,
sure. They're wives. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's old and they're going up and down.
The Clintons.
Happen.
Yeah. How about that? Bernie Sanders?
Clintons weren't as old at the time. Bill was relatively young compared to other presidents that had preceded him.
Texas says, has Streeple ever read Mitch Please to his class?
No, I've never read Mitch Please to myself.
Texas says, is Donkey Lips going to register himself into the Patriot Party? Texas says, did Crean take a selfie with his ballot after voting for Biden? Texter says, Mitch has David.
David.
Here, read this bottom one.
Sorry.
Not on air.
Oh. That's terrible.
Or else we call Mike Griffith so he can save us.
Bell us out.
So he can save us from this.
Save us, Dog Nation.
Oh, my goodness. I'm looking at Georgia, man. This ain't good, brother. I'm looking at Georgia right now.
Win?
No, I'm just looking at them. They've lost. I mean, they lost four in a row before Saturday.
Yeah.
Ole Miss.
They beat Ole Miss. Before that, they got thumped by everybody.
This is the worst game.
It's the worst game of the
year. You're
going
to wrap up this post game so fast tonight.
Oh, dude, it's going to be 45 minutes. It's going to be,
God
I'll talk
you.
Until Cal does his thing. Cal will do his thing. I'll do some phone calls.
Oh, if they lose, you're going to be in such a bad mood.
I am.
People are
going to
be calling in. I thought, you know, if you wanted to, I guess, you know, if you want to come over here, we could do a post-game show. But Kentucky fans don't want to hear me if they lose.
plus, my wife's got to work.
Oh,
tonight.
Yeah. We'll bring the kids over.
It's her last
night
before the weekend, so she's off
this
weekend.
Oh, yeah, your wife's off this weekend. Not
she
a
is.
Good thing for you.
Well, no.
A little pumpkin patch this weekend?
No.
Avoiding COVID-19.
Avoiding COVID. Yeah. Speaking of, she gets her second vaccine tomorrow. So
nice. And then you're cutting in line, and so you get yours here soon,
one
right?
One week from today. I'm excited.
You're right there.
Oh, he's got Griffith.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I hear him. Have you not done radio before?
Well, I hear
Crean in our ear say, I got him. I hear him. I've been keeping the conversation going.
I didn't know if you, because the mask, it makes him kind of mumbly, so.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
I just figured that's what he was saying, that we have Mike Griffith from Dog Nation on. God bless you, Mike, for watching this Georgia basketball team. We're watching bad basketball as well in Kentucky. Would you agree the best part of this game is it's at 7 o'clock and not 9 o'clock on the SEC Network? Because that's what I think it is. It's an early game.
It is an early game. Hey, Georgia's trying to build off some momentum, guys. They got their first SEC win of the year, and I heard Cal's press conference, and Cal says they're playing better defense than anybody in the country. And he said they just got to bust through. So Cal's ready to get the team on a roll, and this could be the start of something special for the Wildcats.
Yeah, there you go. I appreciate the sarcasm. It fits our show.
Yes, it does.
Perfect.
Mike.
Mike Griffith with us here at MikeGriffith32. If you want to follow him, DogNation.com here on this Wednesday. Reminder, the postgame show will be up after the game tonight. You know what's funny? You mentioned getting things going and Cal saying that Georgia's playing such great defense. I think Tom Crean was quoted today or yesterday as saying that Kentucky could score the basketball basketball was a good scoring team. And that's the, I mean, there are a lot of things, but that's not one of them. They can't score at all, I guess. How do you see this matchup? How are Georgia people talking about it? I mean, this is a chance, you know, where they're at least as good as Kentucky, if not better. What do you make of tonight's game?
Wow. Well, again, you know, Georgia's trying to get something going. This is year three under Tom Crean. And there's no Ant-Man Edwards on the team anymore, right? Now, they got this K.D. Johnson kid who's pretty good. He was the freshman of the week last week, kid out of Decatur. This will be game three for him. So you wonder if Georgia, you know, can get above the 500 line, right? And if you beat Kentucky, even though it's a down year from Kentucky, it's still Kentucky. You know, Kentucky's won 14 straight against Georgia going back to 2013. So, you know, I know it's a down year, but listen, you beat Kentucky, you beat Kentucky. You know, conversely, I remember 97, I covered Alabama football, and Kentucky beat Alabama in that 4-7 season. The goalpost came down in Commonwealth Stadium under Hal Mumme in 97. Now, I'm not saying they're going to tear the rims down if they beat Kentucky, but it'll still be a big win for this program if you beat Big Blue.
You mentioned, and Mike Griffith with us, you mentioned just, hey, it's year three, and, you know, under Tom Crean, the guy back at the office there that you talked to, Jack Grossman, he's a big Indiana fan, so he is eloquent in Tom Crean. Is there angst there? Is there, what is the temperature in the room? 11-21, taking over the mess in 2018, 500 last year. You know, this year, you know, 8-4, but 1-4 in a kind of a down SEC, 8-33 overall, there in the SEC at Georgia. Is there angst? Is there patience? What is the temperature in the room?
Well, it's probably not an equal comparison, but let me put it like this. There's not many schools in football in the SEC you could work at and be the head coach after 8 years and never go to the SEC championship game. And everybody thinks you're a hero. But that happens at Kentucky with Stoops, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Georgia basketball is kind of like that here. They're not looking to win the SEC. They just want to be respectable and, you know, show up once every 3 or 4 years on the radar. And, you know, you're starting to wonder a little bit, can Crean get it going? But he took over such a horrible situation. Stoops took over a better situation. I remember that Randy Sanders was on one of those staffs that beat Tennessee, and I think they won 9 or 10 games there under – what was that coach from Oregon? Gosh, I'm forgetting his name. The coach
Rich Brooks.
Succeeded, coach. Yeah, Brooks. They had a couple
Brooks.
Good years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia basketball culture was just terrible. It was the, and I said it, it was the most competitive group of seniors I'd covered in any sport in 30 years that,
wow.
that Tom Crean inherited. And it was bad. I mean, the indifference was, like I said, it was worse than Kentucky football. I'm going to say this. Now, Kentucky's got some great football fans. I mean, they don't get nearly the credit that they deserve. They're loyal. They're supportive. They're patient. Georgia basketball fans aren't that good. They're because I don't know who they are. I don't know that there are any. I mean, there's people here in Athens that go to the games, but it's just not talked about. This is the second Georgia. You know, I've done 100, literally 100 Georgia football interviews in the last 3 weeks.
Oh,
this
sure.
This is the second one on basketball. This is
who's the first
on basketball.
Who is the first?
Arkansas, man, the Hogs, the other basketball school.
They do love basketball there in
there
Arkansas.
We go.
Yeah,
there we go.
I think
the only people that like, of course, the Kentucky fans now, they want to steal Nate Oates from Alabama. That's the thing now.
Yeah,
they want to get rid of John Calipari and steal the sexy candidate who only shoots layups and three pointers. They want Nate Oates to be
that's
their.
That's already been done. Listen, that's how Bruce Pearl did it. Bruce Pearl beat Billy Donovan 7 out of the first 8 times he played him and beat that back-to-back Florida National Championship team 3 out of 4 times. Bruce Pearl's the one that says no tough twos, and Bruce plays a three-quarter court trap and enforces tempo. I mean, Oates is new to the game. He's got to do more than half a season before he equals Bruce Pearl to me.
Oh, I'm with you. Listen, we love Bruce Pearl around here.
Yeah, we do.
Even though, you know, there's some slime there. We appreciate the slime.
Yes.
We really do around these parts. Mike Griffith with us, Dog Nation, talking that in a bunch of SEC as well. What is this team good at? I mean, their KenPom numbers defensively, field goal percentage, are pretty good. Otherwise, I mean, shooting, it's dismal. Effective field goal percentage. percentage, 293rd in the country. 3-point percentage is under 30%, 290th in the country. 2-point percentage, 259th in the country. I don't know. I guess what are they good at? How could they beat Kentucky tonight, I guess? It's a generic question, but they're not a good team, obviously.
Well, first of all, I got to backtrack. I can't resist. I think for many of us, watching ESPN and Dick Vitale and Jay Billis tell us how the world rotates, you know, Bruce Pearl's a bad guy, but Mike Krzyzewski's not, and North Carolina with players not going to school's not, and Jim Boeheim, who says it's only cheating if you know you're breaking rules, is not, and Rick Pitino's not, and Sean Miller, and the guy at LSU. I mean, Bruce Pearl had a guy go to his house for a damn barbecue for 20 minutes and lie
Aaron Kraft.
It was Aaron Kraft.
Mike, are we in love? I think we're in love with you.
Here's the rest of the story. This is the beautiful part.
Okay.
There's a lot more to this story, but the beautiful part is this.
Can I pause you for a second? I need to back up just for a second. Sorry to pause you. I was reading Kentucky's crappy stats. I apologize on KenPom. I was looking at the left instead of the right. Georgia is not 290th in effective field goal percentage. They're 104th. They're much better at every stat than Kentucky is.
Yeah.
Right. They're much better at nearly every stat than Kentucky. Continue with the rest of the story, please. Sorry.
So the biggest win in Tennessee basketball history was when they beat Ohio State to go to the Elite Eight. They've never been past the Elite Eight. They love Rick Barnes there, but he hasn't been past the Sweet 16 there either, all right?
Right,
Bruce
right.
Pearl got him to Elite Eight, got him to within 1 second of the Final Four. He lost to a really good Tom Izzo team and Draymond Green. But when they beat Ohio State that year, and I'm trying to think what year, it might have been 08, 09, something like that, to go to the Elite Eight, that motto was on the other side of the court.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward 2 years later, Aaron Kraft is on the Ohio State team. Bruce Pearl offered Aaron Kraft a scholarship when he was ranked like 110th. Kraft's coming to Tennessee, and Thad Matta moves in and recruits over him and gets him to decommit from Tennessee and commit to Ohio State. The Ohio State coaches are perusing Aaron Kraft's Facebook page, and they come across that picture of him and Bruce Pearl at Bruce's house. They don't turn in Tennessee until after Tennessee beats them in the NCAA tournament 2 years later. That's how that got turned in, was Ohio State. And they were pissed off that they lost in the Sweet 16.
Bruce Pearl in the battles with Calipari. We love. I don't know how we get on Bruce Pearl, but we love those two guys. They're the Spider-Man meme when they're sweating in the sidelines.
The best one. There were two great moments. There was the 1-2 game in Memphis, and I was there for that. When Bruce Pearl told the boosters at a booster outside the arena, they had this big booster meeting, and he said, "And I want everybody in there to cheer us on because we're going to kick their ass." And it's like, wait a minute, that's the number one method. They hadn't lost in 2 years. So a couple years later, some reporter gets a hold of a Pearl in a synagogue, and he's asking him these questions about Kentucky. And Bruce, you'd like a curse word. You're like, I think that's a horse crap question. Like, he's like you see this Jewish rabbi like walk behind him. You're like, wait a minute, he's in a synagogue and he just said a bad word. Like, it was craziness. Calipari and Pearl, it was just, and it still is. Listen, these guys, you know, they made good. They're both older now. But let me tell you, to me, knowing Bruce, and I covered that Tennessee program for 6 years, if people are wondering, gosh, this guy from Georgia sure knows a lot. I covered Bruce Pearl's entire tenure at Tennessee. And I'm going to tell you, there was nothing that had him hotter than those games with Cal, because Cal is the best.
At
ticking people off. The first time he came to SEC Media Days, I'll never forget it, because he said that everybody that voted in the top 25 in the SEC lived in a cave. So I'm thinking, all right, wait till this guy comes to these Media Days. We're going to tear this guy up. We start asking Cal all these questions about Marcus Camby and UMass, and we're asking him about the improprieties at Memphis and Derrick Rose and who took the test. Mm-hmm. And Cal goes, he takes a step back and he holds his hands up and he goes, Guys, can you time here? You're shooting arrows through a bazooka-sized hole. You're not going to upset me, man. Let's just talk basketball." And I'm like, wow, this guy is cool. This is one cool daddy, man. We ain't getting to Cal, and nobody's gotten to Cal. I watched him today. He's doing that interview, you know, where he makes up the conversation. I was talking to someone the other day. That's when you go, okay, he's making this up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and they asked me, how you handling this, Cal? And I tell him I'm not handling it well. I'm thinking, did anybody really ask him that? Because we think we know he's not handling it well. But I told him I'm
not. Oh, he's
not
miserable.
Well.
And yeah, he's miserable.
No, I'm not an expert at this. And I'm just, but I have come, just like Nick Saban, like these people are villains for so long. And then you come to just appreciate it and go, you know what? Where would the SEC be without Cal's beautiful, man?
Yeah,
Cal's
do I? Yes. Yeah, you're beautiful. Cal's beautiful. Mike Griffith is beautiful. The text line loves you. The show loves you right now. We need to have you on more. It's an odd thing. We, you know, if we bring on Mike Griffith from Dog Nation, like, and obviously we're not going to talk anything Georgia. You know, we just
talk sports.
Yeah, and we just talk BS. I like this.
Yeah.
Well, just quickly,
well,
I know.
Do you really want to know about Georgia? I mean, okay, here's what they got. They got two guards. They got Sabir Wheeler. Leads the league in assists. He's
there
about
5'9".
They got KD Johnson. He's explosive. He can get to the rim. But I'm going to tell you what, if they're not getting long rebounds, they don't got a chance because Kentucky's got length, Kentucky's got talent, and Georgia's not a good shooting team.
Yeah.
Georgia needs shots to fall at a record pace like it did at Ole Miss the other night. It was the best three-point shooting performance that's ever happened in the Pavilion. They need lightning to strike twice, and they need Kentucky to get food poisoning or something.
Yeah, or something.
Big and strong. And more talented, and they're going to beat Georgia by double digits tonight.
All right, so Mike Griffith with us. I got to get your thoughts on this. What did you make of Dan Patrick? I guess what do your people there make of Dan Patrick talking about recruiting? On one side, you had Georgia being sloppy. On the other side, you have all the debacle there. You covered Tennessee, so you know they're a mess. Tennessee's a complete mess. You know, five coaching searches in 12 years. And then, you know, the report, and we'll see if it's true, of recruits getting money in McDonald's bags, which is, of course, the best thing in the history of the SEC to happen. So what do you make of those two stories that have kind of, I'm sure, been dominating conversation the last couple days?
Yeah, you know, Dan's a guy we all respect. You know, he did such great work at ESPN 20 years ago. And, you know, he's got a good show now that some people watch. And I don't know who his sources are. When you just throw that stuff out there like that, it's just, it's kind of random, you know. But I will say,
it's got a life of its own now.
It does.
It's got a life of its own. I mean, the players are running through the arch onto the field in Knoxville.
Yeah.
Like, that's all the memes that are out there now, Mike.
They're taking pictures of, like, I had one Tennessee football player I saw took a picture of a McDonald's bag in his lap and said, this was my offer from Tennessee. It was great. I was like, this guy gets it.
I saw Florida beat him in basketball
by
29, and they put the tweet out, we're loving it.
Oh, we're loving it. Yeah. It was
like
vicious.
Universal.
It was vicious.
The Georgia thing, they responded to that last Thursday and said there's, you know.
Right.
You know, you start trying to track down every guy that's taking a visit to Tennessee, and it's going to be hard unless you get the feds involved. And then even if you do get the feds involved, apparently that doesn't mean anything if you look around the league at some of these guys that are still coaching. So
sure.
Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's just, I don't know if it's true. People just on the internet want it to be true. Well, Mike, take care. Have fun, and, you know, we'll catch up down the road. We'll get an update from you at some point. I think our listeners enjoyed this. Appreciate the time, man. Take care. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, thank you. Mike Griffith with us here on ESPN 680 105.7. That guy's great, man.
Man, sometimes, we sat here like, oh, we're going to talk to this guy about Georgia basketball. We're going to do a segment. We're going to ask him.
Because we don't know anything about Georgia basketball.
He was great. What a guest.
One. This guy's taking Strebel's job. You need a regular segment.
Yeah.
He sounds like Ethan Grossman. Great interview. He needs to be on regular. Bring this guy on weekly. This guy sounds like he's walking a horse. You need a weekly segment with a Georgia guy.
Yeah, he's awesome, man. That was a great, great interview. He was funny. Yeah.
Texas says, Strebel said, yes, we do love Bruce Pearl. What a massive lie.
I do like Bruce Pearl. I'm sorry. I know it's supposed to be in the BBN bylaws that you don't like Bruce Pearl.
Right.
I like Bruce Pearl.
Okay.
I think he's funny. I think he's a good coach. He looks like he's going to have a heart attack. He looks jacked up, by the way. He's been hitting him weights. The broad shoulders Bruce Pearl does.
Mitch, I'm going to read. Oh, Mitch. Grossman, since we can't see each other, we need to set up some Zoom or something.
Let's Zoom with Jack.
I'm going to read two texts that I want you to go to break, okay? Two texts. Texter says they didn't storm the Capitol. Hang on, I gotta find the other one. Hang on.
Here he goes.
437-968.
Okay.
Looting and destroying downtown Louisville is not domestic terrorism. I didn't hear you call it that. Protesting in Louisville, domestic terrorism?